Welcome to ACT Radio, Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we talk about how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
And we also discuss why a plant-based diet is healthiest for humans and the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with J.L. Fields, who's a cookbook author, a vegan lifestyle coach and educator, and a food for life instructor. That's coming up a little later on the show, but first some news.
While much of the nation's focus has been riveted on the outcome of the recent presidential election, voters in a handful of states also decided important ballot measures related to animal protection this month. First, the good news. Massachusetts voters overwhelmingly approved Question 3, an act to prevent cruelty to farm animals, which bans the production and sale of products obtained from the extreme confinement of farmed animals. The bill not only prohibits confining farmed animals in cages so small they cannot comfortably stand up, lie down, turn around, or move their limbs, but also goes further in banning the sale of meat and eggs resulting from these practices outside Massachusetts. This new legislation, which passed by a landslide with 78% in favor, is stronger than any similar law in the U.S. and sends a clear message that people care about farmed animals. We can expect more challenges in the future to the egregious methods of animal confinement that have become standard in the agriculture industry. In nearby Oklahoma, voters rejected State Question 777, also known as the Right to Farm Bill, which would have amended the state constitution to include farming and ranching rights. Adding guaranteed farming rights to the state constitution would have made it extremely difficult to pass any new regulations related to agriculture. Despite the backing of powerful agriculture groups, Oklahoma voters decided not to grant the farming industry legal protection from future regulation. In another positive development, voters in Oregon approved Measure 100, the Wildlife Tracking Prevention Act, which bans the sale of animal parts from 12 endangered species to stop illegal poaching. It passed by a wide margin as well. The U.S. is now the second largest market for illegal wildlife products, and Oregon joins several states that have recently enacted legislation to curtail trafficking, including New York, New Jersey, California, Washington, and Hawaii. And in California, voters rejected Proposition 67, affirming a ban on plastic bags. Plastic bags are a significant cause of death for marine animals. Unfortunately, not all of the news was positive for animals. Montanans voted down the Montana Animal Trap Restrictions Initiative, or I-77, a ballot measure that would have prohibited the use of cruel animal traps and snares on public lands. Despite the mostly positive gains on state ballot measures this election, many are concerned about what a Donald Trump presidency will mean for animals. Although President-elect Trump has not issued any official statements on animal protection, during his campaign he pledged to dismantle environmental protections and regulations, which could have far-reaching impacts on animals and their dwindling habitats. Trump does not have a voting record on animal protection, having never previously held political office. However, many of his likely picks for cabinet-level positions are sport hunting enthusiasts and climate change skeptics, some of whom have demonstrated a pronounced antipathy to animal interests. While the effects of a Trump presidency remain to be seen, we all need to fight to ensure that the progress that has been made for animal protection will not be undone, and indeed will continue to move forward, no matter who sits in the Oval Office.
As Tom said, not all on the legislative front is positive. The Center for Biological Diversity reports that Representative Rob Bishop, a Republican from Utah, is trying to undo protections for the iconic greater sage-grouse by including language in the 2017 National Defense Authorization Act that would allow states with greater sage-grouse management plans to block the recently completed federal lands management plans and thwart the ability of the sage-grouse to gain protections under the Endangered Species Act until September 30, 2026. The National Defense Authorization Act, the bill that funds military spending, is in the final stages of negotiation with members of Lame Duck Congress's conference committee. Sage-grouse habitat overlaps with some military bases, yet the Defense Department officials have written letters to the House Democrats affirming that the greater sage-grouse management plans will not affect military training operations or readiness to any significant degree. Even Senator John McCain has been pushing back on Bishop's greater sage-grouse language, as he did last year when the annual defense spending bill was up for reauthorization. Representative Bishop recently commented that Senator McCain didn't understand the issue, indicating that the Arizona senator was naive and misinformed. Bishop has made it clear he is looking to overturn the greater sage-grouse plans and block environmental groups from using bedrock species protection laws to protect greater sage-grouse. The congressman is continuing to wrongly claim that the greater sage-grouse protections pose a national security threat. According to the Center of Biological Diversity, Bishop's disdain for Americans' public lands and wildlife blinds him to facts and expert opinion, and further states that extinction means nothing to Bishop and he looks for every opportunity to give away our public lands to polluting corporate interest. To find out more about the sage-grouse and other threatened and endangered species, go to www.biologicaldiversity.org.
It was reported by the El Paso Times in late October that the Zocalo Cantina, a bar on Airway Boulevard, is serving live minnows. The fish are served in a side cup so that the customer can pour it into their drink and gulp it down. An online petition at care2.com now has 60,000 signatures requesting an end to this practice. Mary Finley of the organization Fish Feel has filed a complaint with the El Paso Animal Services. She spoke with Animal Services and was told that the health department was allowing it because the fish aren't served in the drink, but on the side, and the customer places the fish in the drinks. Therefore, the bar was not violating health ordinances. Mary also spoke with an assistant city attorney with the city prosecutor's office and was given the runaround there as well. The owner of the bar, Eddie Velasquez, told KVIA News that he got the idea for the fish shot when he saw a bar in Dallas do it. So Eddie decided to do it to gain publicity and attract customers. He applied for a permit with the health department, which granted the permit because it sidesteps health regulations by serving the fish on the side. Still, the El Paso Health Department doesn't recommend this. Live minnows are often contaminated with many different strains of salmonella and other bacteria. Minnows are also host to parasites, such as roundworms. Minnows may also carry tapeworm larvae and other worms. As a publicity stunt, the Zocalo Cantina is using a loophole to get around our city's health code, but still appears to be in violation of several El Paso ordinances related to animal cruelty. Placing live fish into alcohol violates several sections of our municipal code, and the patrons of the bar could be charged if city officials were so inclined, or the bar could be shut down for encouraging these violations. Besides the animal abuse involved, the bar is putting the health of its customers at risk. If you're concerned about this issue, please sign the petition at care2.com, that's care2.com, or Google El Paso Bar Live Fish and go to the El Paso Times article, which has a link to the petition. Or you can contact the El Paso Health Department at 915-212-0200. Or you can go to their website, elpasotexas.gov/public health. Stay with us. Coming up next on ACT Radio, we have a conversation with J.L. Fields, who's the author of several cookbooks, and she writes the monthly vegan dining review for the Colorado Springs Gazette. She's the producer and host of the radio show Easy Vegan and certified and on the faculty of Main Street Vegan Academy. And she's certified as a Food for Life instructor by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Our conversation with J.L. Fields is next on ACT Radio.